And now, Adventures in Odyssey.
Hey, Trent, did you hear? Miss Grapple's out sick for the rest of the week. Maybe we'll get out of our test.
Yeah, right.
I wonder who our substitute teacher is.
Hey, Max, I'm trying to study here.
I hope it'll be one of those teachers who lets us play games and goof off all morning. Now that would be so cool, wouldn't it? Huh, Trent? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, fellow scholars and intellectual adventurers.
Oh, no.
Due to Miss Grapple's unfortunate bout with influenza, I, Eugene Meltzner, am offering my services as your very own substitute teacher.
Hi, this is Connie. Connie Kendall, I mean. And I'd like you to join us for a time of wonder and excitement and all kinds of other fun stuff. Are you ready? Well, let's go for another adventure in Odyssey. How's that? Did I say it right?
Ask not for whom the bells toll, they toll for thee, O seventh grade class of geometry. And so let us begin, shall we? The pursuit of knowledge is a noble quest indeed, and on this quest I shall be your veritable tour guide.
Eugene, Mr. Meltzner?
Yes, Mr. Hampton.
Does this mean we don't have our test on Friday?
Au contraire.
Great, no test.
Actually, by au contraire, I meant we shall have the test.
It's like this guy speaks a whole different language.
In fact, class, my mission here is to prepare you for said test. Please turn your textbooks to page 32. Here we are. The Pythagorean theorem states that in a right triangle, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, as we all know. Now, you may be amused to learn that in 1876, President James Garfield proved the Pythagorean theorem in a new way by using, prepare yourself now, a trapezoid of all things. Trapezoid. Oh, boy. What a card. And then later in early 1877, Garfield...
Well, according to his doctor, he's doing quite well. In fact, he's living in his own home now.
Really?
It's a special program for the mentally challenged. They send a staff member to check up on him every day, and it seems to be going just fine.
Oh, I'm glad. He's such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Like a big teddy bear.
I'm sorry. Who's the teddy bear?
Lester.
You mean the guy with the blue baseball cap?
Yeah, that's him. He's been coming by at about this time every day. Oh, well, here he comes now, right on cue. Hi, Lester.
Hey there, Wheat. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Lester.
Oh, Lester, I'd like you to meet Trent.
Hello.
Hi.
Whit, I decided it's time to introduce my friend to you.
Oh.
Meet Ralph. Ralph, this is Whit.
Oh, I'm sorry?
He's my dog. His name is Ralph.
Oh, he's a very, very tiny dog, I take it.
Oh, no, he's normal size. Right, Ralph? Yes, good boy.
I must be missing something.
You're playing a joke on us, right?
No, it's no joke. Just because you can't see Ralph doesn't mean he's not there.
But, Lester, there's no dog.
Trent, how about we just talk about this a little later?
Oh, well, you can talk now. Me and Ralph have to go. We've got a lot of things to do today. I just stopped in to say that I won't be stopping in.
Okay.
Bye now.
So long.
See you, Lester.
Bye, Lester.
Bye.
Now, somebody needs to tell him the truth. There's no dog.
Oh, what do you mean? He's just having fun.
Yeah, maybe. But I have a feeling there may be more to Lester's dog than we know. I need to look into this a little further.
That wraps up point number 17A from yesterday's discourse on Euclid's postulates.
Mr. Meltzner?
Yes, Mr. Hampton.
Well, that's interesting, but I still don't even know what a hypotenuse is. And when are we going to learn how to work all these problems?
Well, perhaps we can discuss the basics in a moment, but first, point number 17B, Roman numeral... Oh, my. Is class over already? I haven't even discussed isoperimetric inequality yet. But there's always tomorrow. Farewell, fellow sojourners of academia. Class, dismiss.
Mr. Meltzner?
Oh, yes, Mr. Dwight.
would you consider the cosine rule a generalization of the Pythagorean theorem?
A remarkable observation.
I drew up a proof right here.
Most intriguing.
But I was wondering, is there any proof of the cosine rule that's completely independent of the Pythagorean theorem?
Curiously enough, I asked my third grade teacher the very same thing.
Okay, Lester, how many fingers am I holding up?
Two.
All right, how about now?
No fingers.
Right, no fingers. Just like Ralph. See? Ralph is not here.
You're right.
Exactly.
He's over by the window.
Huh?
Come here, Ralph. Come on, boy. Ralphie, get down. Down, boy. Down, down, down. Don't worry, Trent. He won't bite. He's really a very friendly dog.
Lester, you don't...
I think he likes you. Good dog.
Hey, you two.
Hi, Connie.
Hey, Connie.
So, how's Ralph?
Connie?
I'm teaching him tricks now. He can roll over, sit up and beg, and go fetch.
Really?
Connie?
Yesterday, we helped an old lady with her groceries, and we worked at the homeless people place. I served breakfast. Ralph ate 3 sausages.
Oh, no.
And right now, Ralph and me are going to the park to feed the ducks. Come on, Ralphie. Come on. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Bye, Lester. See ya. Okay, Connie, somebody's got to tell Lester the truth. It's what he needs.
I know that's what you think, Trent, but is that really what's best for him?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, you gotta be careful. Lester's not built the same as you and me. He has different needs.
So you're saying he needs a pretend dog?
Could be. Tell you what, Whit's having lunch with a psychologist friend today. Maybe he can help us figure out how to help Lester.
And if you thought that was exciting, just wait until we prove the Pythagorean theorem using tessellating hexagons. You're gonna love this.
Mr. Meltzner?
Yes?
Not to be rude or anything, but you've spent 3 days now talking about the history of the Pythagorean theorem. Is any of this stuff gonna be on the test?
Well, no.
What, are you kidding?
But I felt it was important for you to understand the historical context. I assumed you would study the basic materials on your own. However, I will be most happy to answer any questions you might have at this time.
Oh, no!
Take heart. I'm sure you'll do very well. Class, dismissed.
Mr. Meltzner, I'm kind of worried about the rest of the class.
Oh?
I mean, I'm really enjoying learning about Pythagoras and Euclid and Archimedes, but I don't think the class is ready for the test tomorrow.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. However, knowledge must be pursued if our civilization is going to advance.
Do you mean advance through mathematics and intuition like Descartes proposed?
Personally, I believe in the scientific approach to knowledge. That is, observable reality, what one can see, touch, taste, feel, and smell.
Observable reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hey, you just gave me a great idea.
I did?
Yes, a proof against invisible dog. Thank you, Mr. Meltzer.
You're most welcome. Invisible dog. I can't say I recall that proof. Must look it up.
Well, Connie, I talked with Dr. Hoffman.
Your psychologist friend?
Yeah. He says imaginary friends are perfectly fine for young children. It's a lot like playing with a doll or an action figure. But since Lester's an adult, it's very likely something else is going on there. Dr. Hoffman suggested that Lester might have some inner fear of something.
What do you think it is?
I have no idea. Anyway, he said it's perfectly fine for us to play along for now.
Okay.
But at some point, we'll need to help him face his fear. I'd like to talk with Lester some more.
Well, looks like your chance is out there on the sidewalk right now.
I'm sorry?
It's Lester, and looks like Ralph is with him.
How can you tell?
He's stopping by the fire hydrant.
Oh, boy. Hello, Lester. How's everything going?
Oh, I'm fine. Ralph and I are going for a walk. Oh. Then we're going to stop by your shop.
Oh, you mind if I walk with you?
Oh, that'd be great. Come on, Ralphie.
Hey, Lester, did you ever have a dog when you were little?
No.
Any other kind of pet?
Nope.
Well, When did you first meet Ralph?
Well, it was after Mr. L died.
Oh, so Ralph kept you company after your friend was gone.
Yes, I was all alone in Mr. L's house.
Oh, were you scared?
Yes, I didn't know what would happen to me. But that's when Ralph showed up. He licked my hand, and I knew everything was going to be better. I wasn't alone anymore.
Oh, I see.
You do? You see Ralph?
Oh, no, not yet. But I think I'm beginning to. And Lester?
Yes?
You've got a lot of friends who care about you. Connie, Trent, me, many others. With or without Ralph, you aren't alone anymore.
Lester, I learned something at school today that might help.
Yes?
Well, I can't see Ralph. I can't feel Ralph. I can't hear him or smell him or taste him, right?
I don't think you'd want to taste Ralph.
Right, but the point is, you can't observe Ralph. You can't experience Ralph. Therefore, Ralph doesn't exist.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Well, I finally got through.
Trent. Ralph's trying to tell me something. You want to go out, Ralph? All right. Oh, by yourself? Well, that's strange. He never wanted to do that before.
What?
Go on, Ralph. You can go. Please be careful.
You let him go. Congratulations, Lester. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I think I need to go home.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Even if Ralph leaves me, I'm not alone anymore.
You're right, Lester. Wow.
I'll see you later, Trent.
Bye.
Was that Lester?
Oh, I wanted to say hi.
My strategy worked.
What are you talking about?
Lester let Ralph go.
What? What'd you say to him?
Barely anything. He did it on his own. I don't know if it's permanent, but hey, it's a start.
But that may not be what Lester needs right now. Whit found out that Lester has Ralph for comfort. For now, we need to just play along.
How can Ralph comfort anyone? He's not there.
Look, didn't you ever have an imaginary friend or an imaginary pet?
No, I had a real one. A beagle named Bingo. You know, like the song.
So, Bingo was a friend, just like Ralph.
But Bingo was real.
And to Lester, Ralph is just as real. Trent, if you just think about it, maybe it'll help you understand where he's coming from.
No. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. It has absolutely nothing to do with T squares. Unbelievable. What? A hypotenuse is used to catch large animals in Africa?
Eugene? Eugene!
What? Oh, Mr. Whitaker, sorry.
Are you all right?
Yes, I suppose.
Well, why are you sitting over here all by yourself?
I'm grading papers and contemplating.
Huh. Is this seat open?
Oh, please.
Well, so what's wrong?
They failed, Mr. Whitaker. Hmm? Every student in my entire class, except for Mr. Dwight, of course, failed.
Oh.
Which, of course, means that I, too, have failed as their substitute teacher.
Oh, no, Eugene, don't be so hard on yourself. Ah. You know, I remember my whole first year as a teacher was pretty rough.
But I have this awful feeling in the cavity of my gastrointestinal region.
The pit of your stomach.
Precisely. Yeah. It's the feeling that I let my students down. And the worst part is, I'm not exactly sure what I did wrong.
All right, Mom. I'm coming home right now. Mm-hmm. Well, it shouldn't be long. Okay, talk to you later. Bye. What's that? Hello? Hello? Lester? Is that you? Are you okay? Lester, it's me, your friend Trent. Okay.
I know. Good friend.
Did somebody hurt you?
No.
What happened?
I was crossing the street with Ralph, and this car came and...
Ralph got hit. I am so sorry, Lester.
You're sorry for what?
I know how much it hurts.
You do? Did you ever have a friend like Ralph?
No, Well, yeah, I did.
You had a dog?
A little puppy.
What kind?
A beagle, and his name was Bingo.
Did you play with him a lot?
Yeah, he followed me everywhere.
Just like me and Ralph.
But Bingo was real. A real good friend.
Do you miss him?
I guess so. And it was all my fault.
What was?
Well, Bingo was pretty smart.
Uh-huh.
And he dug this hole under our fence. Mom asked me to fix it, but I forgot. I was playing in this playground across the street when I heard him barking for me. I yelled at him to stay, but he didn't know what that meant yet. He ran across the street to see me, and he
got hit.
Yeah.
It's all right, Trent. It's all right.
You know, I've never told anybody about that except for my parents.
There was a boy. He had a dog.
And Bingo was his name. Oh,
B-I-N-G-O. 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 And Bingo was his name. Oh.
Maybe this is the best thing for Lester.
What do you mean?
Well, I have a hunch that Ralph is gone because Lester is ready to let him go.
But still, it's so sad.
Yeah, I just hope he's going to be all right. Lester!
Hey, hi, Lester.
Hi, everybody.
Here, let me get you your favorite. Strawberry milkshake, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you all right, Lester?
I'm okay.
I wish there was something we could do for you.
There is something.
Yeah?
But you wouldn't do it.
What? Lester, come on.
Try it.
Well, you could all come to the funeral.
Funeral?
I'm burying Ralph this afternoon.
You know, I've never buried an invisible dog before.
Shh, the service is about to start.
Dear friends, we're gathered here to bury a faithful dog named Ralph. And although we didn't see much of Ralph, we're really here to support a special friend of ours named Lester. Lester, you've shown us all something about compassion. When God gives us compassion for someone, we start to see things through their eyes. So, Lester, thank you. Thank you for helping us see Ralph.
I'm so happy.
Lester, this is a funeral. Why are you so happy?
Because now I know that you guys can see Ralph too.
Mr. Meltzner?
Ah, Mr. Dwight. Since we're not in the classroom, you may revert to calling me Eugene.
Oh, okay. Eugene? I wanted to thank you for everything you taught me last week.
Well, thank you, but it appears you may have been the only one in your class who learned anything of worth.
Well, I know you're the teacher, but do you think I could give you some advice?
I'm all ears with bated breath, to mix my metaphors.
Well, yesterday I told my friend Lester about this puppy I had when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
But Lester didn't try to analyze me. He just listened.
Hmm.
And it hit me. This whole week, I kept trying to figure out Lester's invisible dog. But Lester didn't need anybody to figure it out. He just needed somebody to listen. And maybe it would have helped if you hadn't done, all the talking?
Yes, I suppose I didn't listen quite as well as an educator should.
Well, I think you're a good teacher.
Well, thank you, Mr. Dwight, but it seems that Lester may be a better teacher than any of us. And so, class, I wish to apologize. You did not fail me. I have failed you. As I've contemplated this debacle, I've discovered a new formula for geometry and for life. I can have all the knowledge of all the great minds of history, but if I don't care for others, if I'm not listening to what they truly need, well, it's meaningless. And so, knowledge minus compassion equals nothing. Yes, Mr. Hampton.
So wait, nothing, as in zero, as in our grades for the test?
A perspicacious point.
Is that good?
Very good. It leads me into my next comment. Class, I talked with your teacher and asked her to grant you a retake on the test, and she agreed.
Yes!
However, on this, my last day of teaching, I'm going to devote my time to hearing from you. So please, tell me, what do you need to know? I'm here to listen and to help. Yes, Max.
Can you tell us which side is the hypotenuse again? I keep getting it all mixed up.
Of course. The hypotenuse is the side of the right triangle that's directly opposite the right angle. And here's a tip. The hypotenuse is always the longest side of the triangle. Does that help?
Thanks. That's it?
That, Mr. Hampton, is it. Next.
Hi, everybody.
Oh,
hey, Lester.
Hi there, Lester. Strawberry milkshake?
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Well, you sure sound a lot better now.
I'm fine.
Trent, what in the world?
Wow, that gift wrapping is beautiful.
Wow.
Thank you. All right. I wrapped it myself.
Is it somebody's birthday?
No, just a special gift for somebody. You.
Me?
That's right. Go ahead, open it up.
Okay.
What is it? What's inside? I can't see.
Trent.
It's a puppy.
Oh, thank you, Trent. Thank you very much. I'll give you a big hug.
You're welcome, Lester.
Trent, the box is empty.
Not really, Connie. Not if you see it like Lester does. Well, I've got to finish up my homework. I'll see y'all later.
Okay.
Bye, so bye, long, Trent.
Wait, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Trent thought there was a puppy inside this box. I just played along so I wouldn't hurt his feelings.
Oh.
I understand, Lester.
Well, I have to go now. Come on, Twinkie.
Twinkie?
She's my pet parakeet, see?
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
Got you, Whit.
Good one, Lester. High five.
I think I'll get that milkshake now.
That's funny, huh?
The Bible says Jesus was leaving Jericho one day and heard the cries of two blind men calling out to him. And it says Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. In today's show, we learn that when God gives you compassion, he opens up your eyes to see what another person is feeling. Ask God to help you show compassion to someone this week. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. The Invisible Dog was written and directed by John Fornoff. Our vocal talent included Paul Herlinger, Katie Lee, Jeff Doucette, Corey Padnos, Greg Restivo, and Will Ryan as Eugene. Our sound designer was Nathan Jones, with music by John Campbell. Our producers were Marshall Younger and Bob Hoos. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.